What's up, heroes? Thanks for joining me on episode 17 of the Producer Life podcast. You put your blood, sweat, and tears into your music, and this week I've got a great episode for you with some ideas for making the most of those tracks. But first, I wanted to lead in with an announcement and a news item. I need to let you know that the perfect 10 technique I described back in episode 10 isn't so perfect. As I was working on my live set, I noticed that some of my MIDI parameters would sometimes jump from 0 to 128 as soon as I started to twist the MIDI mapped knob. I thought it might be a hardware issue, but then I discovered it only affected racks where I had MIDI mapped both the dry, wet, and the on-off to the same MIDI knob. I'm not sure why this is happening, but I can't continue to recommend that technique because it's creating erratic behavior in my sets. If I figure it out, I'll let you guys know, or if someone else out there knows, please chime in on the show notes. Second, some news you can use. As we all try to adapt to the coronavirus pandemic, more and more DJs are getting into live streaming. One of the big questions is which platform to use. Twitch certainly seems to be a dominant player here, but if you've read their terms of service, they're pretty explicit that you shouldn't stream music you don't own, or you risk having your tracks muted or taken down. Currently, there's only one platform that's 100% legal, and that's Mixcloud Live, which just launched this past week in a beta program. This is big news because live streaming has always been a legal gray area at best. DJ Mag called this a game changer for DJs. Three main reasons I'm excited about it. First, it's legal because they've got licensing agreements with Universal Music Group, Warner, and Merlin, meaning most of the stuff you play is probably covered under those agreements. Second, you can monetize your streams through Mixcloud Select, which allows paying fans to support you and they get some perks for their subscription. Third, like YouTube and Twitch, when you share a link to your stream, people don't necessarily need an account to watch. They only need an account to interact. That makes it easier to find new fans. But it is a beta, so it's rough around the edges. First, there's no ability to save the live stream on the platform. Second, you've got to input a new stream key every time. And third, it's just a little clunky right now, taking time to buffer, but it does eventually work. Oh, and you've got to be a pro member, which is about $15 a month. Now, right now, Mixcloud is offering a 90-day trial on their pro membership, so you don't really have anything to lose. Give it a try, and if it works for you, you can start paying in 3 months. If it doesn't, take your stream somewhere else and take your chances. Another option is to hedge your bet. Use a platform like Restream.io and push your live stream feed to multiple platforms at once, including Mixcloud, and see where your fans turn up. Then focus your efforts there. I'm going to start live streaming in the coming months, and once I figure out a system that works, I'll have an episode about that too. If you're already live streaming and have some tips, I'd love to hear them over on the show notes. Just head over to producerlifepodcast.com, look for episode 17. Now, cue the intro music. By now, most of you are pretty familiar with that intro, and that's partly what this episode is about. See, that intro music is a clip from my just-released self-titled track, House Ninja. That track began way back in June 2019 when I was working with GrooveMonkey.com to help them develop some house and dubstep beats. GrooveMonkey sells MIDI drum patterns. Full disclosure, I am an affiliate, which means I make a small commission if you decide to buy anything there, but I was using their Megapack long before I signed up to be an affiliate. Go check them out. That Megapack is actually on sale right now, and it was a phenomenal value even before it went on sale. Okay, back to the story. One of the things GrooveMonkey wanted was a short demo clip for their house beats, and I came up with this catchy little beat that I jokingly called Bell-E Dance, because, well, it used bells. This is where the concept really begins. I put a fair amount of time into that beat, and I knew I might want to use it again, so I accepted a lower payment for the beat in exchange for non-exclusive rights. Basically, we agreed that they could do what they wanted with the track, and I could do the same. A few months later, Producer Dojo ran a mixtape challenge titled Say My Name Again. It's the second time they've run this particular challenge. And the idea was to create a track that featured your artist name and your sound. I saw the competition a little late, so this was a perfect opportunity to dust off Bell-E Dance and turn it into a new song. Fast forward a few months while Producer Dojo worked on the mixtape to December 2019, And that's when I really started planning this podcast. I realized I needed theme music and was starting to try to come up with something new when I realized that a short clip from my self-titled track would be perfect. I just changed the voiceover. So, one track repurposed four different ways. I sold a beat, produced a track, made a podcast intro and outro, and had a song released on a mixtape. Now, I wish I could say I had all this planned out at the beginning, but I didn't. What I did have was a multi-purpose mindset. Every time I produce a piece of content, music or otherwise, I'm always looking for different ways to use it. I don't want anything to be a one-off if I can avoid it. Asking for a non-exclusive license on a beat was the first step. Participating in the Producer Dojo Ciphers is another deliberate step. I've submitted tracks for six or eight of them now, and three of them have gotten picked up. I'm already working on the music. As long as I'm willing to delay release a little bit for the mixtapes, they call them ciphers, it just gives the track more visibility. So, look for opportunities to repurpose your music. Pro tip, if you're going to spend your time on a remix competition, take the time to read the fine print. Many of the remix competitions will give you explicit legal permission to release your remix on select platforms, such as SoundCloud and YouTube. That happened with my Bomb Diggy remix a couple years ago, which is still up legally on SoundCloud and YouTube. This works well because even if you don't win the remix competition, you haven't wasted your time. You still have a new piece of content to share with your fans. If a remix competition won't let you post anywhere, I generally look for other opportunities. A third option I've done for remix competitions is I'll use their vocals, but I'll write the instrumental entirely from scratch. That way, if the track isn't selected, I have another easy option. I just delete their vocal and hire someone else to write a new top line, and voila, I've got a new releasable track that I own. I'm actually working on a track right now that started off as a remix submission. This podcast is another example of that multi-purpose mindset. Producer Life helps me solidify things in my own head that I'm learning about music and marketing. The best way to learn anything is to teach somebody else. But it does so much more than that. It also gives me a platform to advertise my music, provides me virtual networking opportunities, gives me weekly content to share out on social media, and it helps me build my email list. One day I may even do a course on music production. Finally, because I use the PowerPress plugin for WordPress, publishing this podcast to dozens of different podcast distributors, including iTunes and Spotify, is as easy as posting a blog entry. So go check out the Say My Name Cipher and show some love for all of the amazing Producer Dojo artists. If you'd like to pick up a copy of my track, I'll link that in the show notes as well. I'm donating all proceeds for the next 30 days to an awesome Atlanta-based charity, the Sewing for Good Foundation, which has sewn and distributed over 5,000 masks to healthcare workers and first responders. Next week, I'm interviewing Captain, also known as Mike Allison, one of my fellow producers featured on the Say My Name Cipher. He's got over 20 years of experience as a DJ and has performed alongside Skrillex, Vasky, DJ Rob Swift, and more. We're going to talk about DJing, producing, merchandising, and wherever else the conversation takes us. Make sure to like and subscribe so you don't miss the episode. This is the House Ninja, reminding you to be someone's hero today.